the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change, and that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters in faith, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to this program, today's special. At the first step, please accept our congratulations on Islamic Republic of Iran victory anniversary.
Ah!
Today, Thursday, is the 21st of Jamadi Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of February, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open the Holy Quran, listen to chapter Al-Jinn, verses 13 to 15.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأنا لما سمعنا الهدى آمنا به فمن يؤمن بربه فلا يخاف بخسا ولا رهقا.
And when we heard the guidance, we believed in it. And whoever believes in his Lord will not fear deprivation or burden. And among us are Muslims in submission to Allah, and among us are the unjust. And whoever has become Muslim, those have sought out the right course. But as for the unjust, they will be for hell firewood.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It implies that the true believers may never be disobedient. In this respect, it is narrated from the noble prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, as saying, "A true believer is one from whose part people are assured of the security of their life and property." According to another prophetic tradition, Muslim is one from whose hands and tongue other are rest assured.
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with today's special.
The fundamentals of Iran's Islamic Revolution. To demonstrate the extent to which the Iranian Revolution was Islamic, it is necessary to situate the 1979 Revolution within Iran's long history of protest. The Iranian Revolution was Islamic due to the role played by the Shia clergy in supporting the revolution. In contrast, previous uprisings have failed because the clergy either opposed calls for change or remained neutral in such situations. The Shah's attempts at reform effectively represent what the 1979 revolution railed against. Undemocratic secular westernization, for example, the White Revolution set the Shah against the ulama, and the ulama firmly on the side of the people. Defined in its opposition to the White Revolution, the 1979 revolution was Islamic in both its message and the actors which came to lead it.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. Concerning the Islamic Revolution of Iran, it must be indicated that, as its name suggests, it has been the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Regarding the influential elements in the Islamic Revolution of Iran, many books have been authored and penned. Now we find that some of them may be indicated in this way, that in that the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty kept humiliating the Iranian nation against foreigners, especially Americans, Another one was that in the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty, in the era of the ex-royal Pahlavi royal dynasty, we find that many aspects of the religious practices were openly overlooked or disregarded on the side and by official personalities, personalities associated with the court, courtiers. Another one was that actually people had no, real value in elections. Another one was that the independence of the country, political and military independence of the country, coupled with economic independence, all of them were bargained and sold to Americans, and actually the whole nation and its people meant nothing to the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty and Americans who were present here.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Bahman presents today's special.
Imam Khomeini's Political Thought. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, Alliance Between Religion and Politics. Imam Khomeini maintains that apart from Islam and Christianity also, Jesus did not, of course, ignore social matters, though his followers consider him as a symbol of piety who detached himself from the worldly matters. From the beginning of his life, Jesus declared that he had brought the book. Thus, from the outset, he launched a campaign against injustice. The techniques of Islam encompass all aspects of human life. Through establishing a just government, Muslims can bring about social justice. Therefore, it can be inferred that Islamic politics, while taking into account all physical and spiritual dimensions of man, is meant to guide men towards perfection. On Fajr Decade, 10-day celebration of victory of Islamic Revolution of Iran, we'll listen to today's special from IRIB English Radio, a story from the life of Imam Khomeini, the importance of a healthy nafs. One of the students of Imam Khomeini narrates during the first few days that Imam came to Masjid Azam as a mosque. Instead of giving a lesson, he would give advice to the students. His advice was such that he would break the connection and attachment between man and the world and bring his attention to the hereafter and Allah. One day, as part of his advice, he said, "Look there, that picture up there, it is a picture of Ayatollah Burujerdi while he is studying. The picture below, his corpse is in the hands of the people. In the picture a little bit below that, Burujerdi is under the ground. That thing which will be of use to Ayatollah Burujerdi is a healthy nafs. Otherwise, these positions of power, these noises, these are of no use to men when he goes under the ground."
The The religion of Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam is the religion where Islam and politics is one. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam says, you know, al-Islamu wa sultanu tawamani. Islam and government are twins. That means inseparable. Fal-Islamu ussun wa sultanu haris. So Islam is the foundation and the government is the protector. Fama la ussalahu yuhdam. Something that doesn't have a foundation gets devastated, collapses. وَمَا لَا حَارَسَ لَهُ ضَائِعٍ. And something that doesn't have a protector gets wasted. The wazir of Shah, la'natullah alayh, Shah didn't know who was Imam Khomeini. Why would he know? He was not in that circle. He asked his wazir, who is Khomeini? And the wazir said to him, you remember when you visited Ayatollah al-Uzma Burujerdi in the Hauza of Qom? And at the time you entered into gathering, all those scholars who were sitting at that time in the hall, all of them stood up in your respect, except one person. He said, yeah, I remember that. That one is Khomeini. So you cannot say, no, everyone is the same. No, everyone is not the same. Everyone is not the same. You have to distinguish between those who are protesting against the zulm and those who are not protesting against the zulm. There's a fine line. Because Allah says, فَضَّلَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah gave the fadilat and superiority to those who are mujahideen over those who are sitting. So now obviously you find the problem in these types of matters is that there were people who actually went to far more extreme. There are some people who did tahreem, who said it's haram to participate in the lectures, Bahsul Kharij. There's a Kharij of Khomeini because he talks about politics. You can go to that extreme that you call it haram to participate in the lecture. So, on the day of Saqifa, what exactly was taken by those people from Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam? Did they manage to take the deen of Imam Ali? No. No one has the power to take the deen and religion from Imam Ali alayhi salam. They took away the kursi, the government, the siyasat. Isn't it right? No one can dare take the religion from Imam Ali Islam. Then why do you disagree with those people who take away the kursi and the government if you think that the government has nothing to do with Islam? This is how far we have gotten from the walayat of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. So this revolution in Iran is a revival where Imam Khomeini reconnected the Islamic Ummah with the walayat of Ghadir of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam.
Today's special on IRIB English Radio presents its episodes on Fajr Decade, that is, 10-day celebration of Imam Khomeini's return to Iran in 1979. Congratulations on all Muslims and fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Salam, and here are some factors to contemplate upon regarding the all-glorious Creator, whom imagination cannot encompass. As described by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who is one without partner. He who cannot be perceived with vision, neither be described with tongues, nor can imagination surround his estate.
Thank you.
are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the blessings that we as followers of the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam have is the treasure of knowledge that has been left behind by the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam, especially in the form of the dua and the supplications, the ziyarat, and certain beautiful traditions and ahadith that have been mentioned to certain special companions of the Imams alayhi salam. The tradition that we will be mentioning for a period of time over the next few episodes, it'll be quite a few episodes, it is hadith that is known as the hadith of Hisham. It is an hadith that has been quoted by Imam Kadhim alayhi salam to one of his close companions, Hisham bin Hakam. This tradition is in 32 sections, each section dealing with a specific quality and characteristic of the aql and of the intellect. It is one of those traditions that we need to know, at least hear it. In the first part of the tradition, the Imam alayhi salam uses the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prove his point. And then the Imam goes into using other sources and other material to expand on what he wishes to say. So who is Hisham? First of all, we need to understand that Hisham was a companion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. He was a great companion. For those who are well versed with the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, know that in many places you see this individual having debates with other, you know, people who have come to the Imam to ask for a debate. And the Imam then turns and says, where is Hisham? And Hisham is there and says, go and debate with this person. You want to debate in Aqaid, you debate with this person. There are many times we see this name in the history books, in the traditions, defending the principles of the Ahlul Bayt and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So Hisham ibn Hakam was a devoted disciple of Imam, as we mentioned, Imam Sadiq and Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. He was firm in faith and deep in knowledge. And he was renowned and was known as an eloquent and quick-witted debater. And as we mentioned, there are many traditions that have him debating scholars of other denominations and other sects. And he defeated most of them, or nearly all of them that we know of, he defeated them with his deep knowledge, with his rationale and the proof that he would bring. And therefore it is said that this tradition that we will hopefully inshallah share with my dear brothers and sisters, hopefully that I myself will benefit from it just as my dear listeners will, that this tradition was the reason that Imam Kadhim told it to Hisham, because it can be said that Hisham was one of the special disciples, one of those special companions of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to go through this tradition, to benefit from it, inshaAllah, to implement its teachings in our lives, inshaAllah, until next time. By the right of Imam Kadhim alayhi salam as well, inshaAllah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh,
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. The Quran is a book in which its beauty is confessed by even non-Muslim scholars. In this segment, we are going to listen to some quotes from different scholars about the Noble Quran. Laura Vecchia Valieri, 1893-1989, was an Italian Orientalist and a professor at the University of Naples. She has the following to say about the Holy Quran. The Heavenly Book of Islam is miraculous and inimitable. Its style is totally unprecedented in Arabic literature, and its peculiar impact on the spirit of the human being derives from its special and superior characteristics. How is it possible that such a book should be the work of Muhammad, an Arab who had never studied? We find in this book a treasury of knowledge beyond the capacity of the greatest philosophers and statesmen, and for this reason, it's also impossible to regard the Quran as the work of an educated person. Dear brother and sister in Islam, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verse 7 of Surah Ash-Shura, recited by Sheikh Hamdi Zamil.
وكذلك أوحينا إليك قرآنا عربيا لتنذر أم القرى ومن حولها وكذلك أوحينا
صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Ash-Shura, verse 7, by Sheikh Hamdi Zamil. We want to analyze this recitation now in terms of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وكذلك أوحينا إليك قرآنا عربيا. Sheikh Hamdi Zamil is reciting in Warsh, عن نافع. This is the riwayah he's using. He's not reciting in Hafs, عن عاصم. So the rules of tajweed differ a little bit. For example, the مد المنفصل أوحينا إليك. In Warsh, you have to lengthen it to 6 vowel counts. You don't have a choice like in Hafs to lengthen it to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ قُرْآنًا. Now, just because the riwayah is Warsh, it doesn't mean that all of the rules of tajweed are different. There are many rules of tajweed that are the same for both Warsh and Hafs. For example, here, Qur, and the Ra is pronounced with Tafkhim. Warsh does not pronounce this Ra with Tarqiq because Ra is preceded by a letter with Dhamma. Qur'anan Arabiyya. We have Ilhar of Nun Sakina. Qur'anan Arabi. The Nun Sakina is pronounced completely and clearly in both Warsh and Hafs, an asim. Arabiyya litunzireh. Warsh says litunzireh. It pronounces the ra with tarqiq. Why? Because the ra is preceded by a letter with kasra. But in Hafs, it's pronounced with tafkhim, because the ra has a fatha. لتنذرا لتنذرا. Now, قُرَى. Warsh here says قُرَى instead of قُرَى, which Hafs says. Why is that? Because this is a ya uzaida, which means this ya is not actually a ya, it's an excessive ya, it's actually an aliful mad. So it has to be pronounced with taqlil, and taqlil makes a ra muraqqaq. Okay, so you have to pronounce ra with taqlil. When the alif ul mad of a ra has taqlil, it makes it automatically muraqqaq. You don't say qura, you say qura. And taqlil means that 75% of the alif ul mad is alif ul mad, and 25% of it is ya ul mad. وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا وَتُنذِرَ. Now here we have إخفاء of نون ساكنة. تُنذِرَ. We have the approximation of ذَال.
And at the same time, we have to make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. يوم الجمع لا ريب فيه ريب. The ra is pronounced with tafkhim. فريق في الجنة. The ra of فريق is pronounced with ترقيق again because it has a kasra. Okay, even warsh pronounces it with ترقيق, not tafkhim. Warsh does not say فريق. It's impossible to pronounce ra here with tafkhim. فريق في الجنة وفريق في السعير. Again, السعير. Ra is pronounced with ترقيق. Okay, brothers and sisters, that's it for today's episode of Let's Recite the Quran. God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
كتاب الله كتاب الله كتاب الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, in continuing our discussion and our story on As'ad and Utbah, we came to this point in the story where As'ad entered Mecca and he entered into the house of Utbah, and they had a discussion, and As'ad asking Utbah for assistance with his problems and the Khazraj tribe's problems in Medina, which was mainly the Aus tribe. So Utbah says, we can't help. And then As'ad says, why? You seem easy. What is troubling you? What is taking up your time? And this is where Utbah replies and says, there is a person in Mecca who has made the claim that he has been sent by God as a messenger. He is misguiding our youth. He is breaking up families. He is destroying tribal bonds. And he goes on and on and explaining who this person is. So then on hearing this, you know, As'ad becomes curious. Okay, who is this person? And then Utbah again says something that we see the thought patterns of the Arabs at that particular time. Utbah then says to As'ad that this individual who I'm talking about, who is doing all of this in Mecca, who has made this claim of prophethood and messengership, in terms of nobility, he's, you know, an average. He's just like any other person. There's nothing special about him. He's an average person of nobleness. However, in terms of family ties, in terms of that relationship and the family he comes from, being Banu Hashim, he is higher than us. That means in terms of the Quraysh, the Bani Hashim had a particular and a high level of authority and a high level of regard amongst the Quraysh, and even a highest rank of authority. So in terms of family ties, he's higher than us. So when As'ad heard this, his mind went back to the tribes of Medina. Which tribes? The Jewish tribes. For on many occasions, he must have heard them speaking about an individual who will be coming as a savior for the Jewish people that will arrive in that particular area. And therefore, it is said in history that the Jews migrated towards Medina awaiting the arrival of this holy prophet, of this final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he heard all of this, and he knew that this prophet would one day arrive in Medina. So therefore he asked Utbah, oh Utbah, where can I find this person? And Utbah says that right now he is in the shape. So it is, you know, can be assumed that what is mentioned is the shape of Abi Talib, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family members and small group of believers were exiled from Mecca for a period of 3 years. And Utbah says that they only come out on two occasions. One is for the minor pilgrimage or the Umrah of the month of Rajab, and the Hajj and the pilgrimage in the month of Zilhijjah. Other than that, they do not come out from that shape and they stay there. So Utbah then says that, you know, so I'm here, it is the month of Rajab, I have to perform tawaf. What do I do if I meet him? What should I do in order not to become
affected by him. Inshallah, we'll continue our story in our next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Stand here so unafraid of everything around me. Proudly, I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way? All covered up in a world that gives it all away. Proudly, she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Talk about the laws of copyright according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hauza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij in his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Sheikh Jawid, we are talking about the laws regarding copyright according to Ayatollah Khamenei. You know, we have such cases that the compiler sometimes or the contributor to an intellectual property is dead. So due to death or travel or something quite unexpected and the like, who should one turn to for permission to reproduce a work? And who should the money be paid to? I know this from experience because I've been involved in several cases such as that. You know, for example, patent offices, normally due to the death or even due to the lapse of time.
Yes.
When the time passes by, they have this stipulation that the copyright for an invention, for example, expires after 20 years.
Good.
For you know, similar cases in regard to books, sometimes it is extended to 50 years. This time period, in fact, prolongs to a period of 50 years. When the author, the original author, is dead, then the book is going out of the copyright laws. So what does, in fact, Ayatollah Khamenei say about this?
Well, you said that the compiler or maybe the original writer could be on a journey or maybe he could be dead. Okay?
Yes.
If he's on a journey, because the death and travel, they are two different issues, and of course they cannot be
treated the same.
Treated in the same way.
Yes.
If someone is on a journey, especially in the at this time, which is the age and time of internet, and of course telecommunication, it's very easy to contact him and find him or locate him, and then get his permission. If there are other scenarios, like if someone is in jail, he can still be reached and contacted, and his permission can be sought. And of course, in modern time, it's when a writer writes, he usually gives his book file to a publishing institute, and he tells the gives the necessary permission. That is something. Okay.
Now, in the case of death, assuming that he has not left anything to indicate that he has given any permission, and he has not communicated his message or his will to the publishing institute, then of course Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah grant him long life, says that the permission has to be sought from his legal guardian, mm-hmm. okay, or his heir, okay. He has brothers and sisters. He has got maybe his father is alive,
yes,
and maybe the closest relative. The heirs could be his uncles even,
mm-hmm.
okay. You could contact his inheritors, and these are the people who can give permission or can give even deny permission on his behalf. So if they give permission, there's no objection. You can go ahead and, of course, reproduce or reprint the material.
I see.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Is it also permissible to reprint books without permission of their authors or their owners, especially with the existence of the phrase, as you can see a lot at the beginning of some books, all rights reserved? So if there is this phrase, all rights reserved, yes. Is it still possible or permissible to reproduce a part of the book without the permission of the author?
As I said, Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei exercised precaution.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Ayatollah Sistani, who says, of course, you can produce it, reprint it for your own personal use, you cannot sell it, you cannot distribute it, Ayatollah Khamenei says that it's a matter of caution or a matter of ihtiyat, that the rights of both the author and the publisher must be actually respected through obtaining their permission to reprint the material. So the right could be that of the publisher, or it could be that of the author. So in either case, their permission has to be obtained for reprinting the material. Of course, in cases that there is a rule, it should be observed. It should be observed in the case of, let's say, in the case when there is, for example, written on the book, all rights protected, all rights reserved. So in this case, of course, one cannot go ahead, even if he does not find the author or the publisher, he cannot go ahead and print it in his without getting his permission. His permission has to be obtained in such cases, either from the publisher by looking for him, locating him, or from the original owners. So I said, as I said, Ayatollah Khamenei exercises precaution, and this precaution is a mandatory precaution. It's not something simple. It's not something to be ignored. That as long as a person is acting upon the precaution, he has to act. But if he moves to the next mujtahid to follow the next mujtahid, the next most learned mujtahid, then that's something else.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sheikh Javid, sometimes video cassettes or tapes and cassettes containing Quranic recitation and religious songs bear or hold the phrase recording rights reserved. All right.
Yes.
What is the religious law about this, to make copies of such cassettes or videotapes and give them to people who are interested in having them.
Yes. A lot of people think that since these cassettes are religious, okay, in
yes.
nature.
Yes.
So religious cassettes do not require any kind of permission. We can use them, we can listen to them without even ignoring the consideration of the original author. That's not the case. Even if a lecture,
mm-hmm.
not a religious song, actually is made public and it's protected by copyrighted and protected under the law, then as a measure of precaution, one should obtain the permission of the original publisher to make copies of the cassette. So again, I should say that Grand Ayatollah Khamenei indeed exercises precaution, and precaution means here that we should consult the publisher, or we should find the original producer, the person who has published or released that cassette or that song, religious song, to get his permission. Otherwise, we cannot reproduce and publish it, or even sell it. Selling something which belongs to someone else is not allowed. It is considered to be unauthorized transaction.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun La ilaha illa hum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Samiun Basir
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio.